I swear, gladly. Motherfucker.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm going to go ahead and venture that we're all sober, except maybe James. The one guy who might not be sober is Sean Payton, because he's probably celebrating his retirement. I'm sure we're going to have some mixed emotions about that, but that's clearly going to be the theme and the topic of this episode. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason's not here, so we'll start with Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Well, you just said all of us are sober, so I don't have a number.
just in case?
Even if I was drunk, this news would be sobering.
There you go. All right. Oh, James, I just took a sip, so I want to say you have a number. What's your number?
That's the first sip I've had. I wasn't going to drink tonight, but I feel this podcast deserves at least one drink.
There you go. That's true. I might start drinking. It's a two martini lunch today. Speaking of martini lunches, Wesley, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Don't have a number.
He's driving. He must be drinking if he's driving.
Why don't you have a number?
I'm driving and then working and stepped out to do this.
Are you driving to New Orleans to apply for a job?
I have a Zoom call on Thursday already scheduled. So.
Oh, good, good. All right, and then of course from taking the over, Billy Gunn, welcome to the show. Which number?
I don't have a number. My number's sad right now. You know, sad number. Yeah, I mean this is big, and we knew this day was coming. No number, but excited to talk about this.
All right, well then let's get into it. I like how I introduce everybody, but Gunn's the only one I actually mention his show on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Sorry. Instant reaction to the news that dropped, what, 10 minutes before we hopped on this scheduled recording?
Well, 15 minutes before you hopped on, but yeah, 10 minutes for the rest of us.
This is kind of an instant reaction, Joe, to be honest. I'm happy for all the stuff he's done for the organization. I kind of get why he's doing what he's doing. You know, we were kind of discussing before, and maybe something he should have done last year when Breeze retired. It's a sad day to see him go. And that's a lot of whoever steps into his role is going to have some big shoes to fill, because he's a Saints legend. Straight up. He's a Saints legend.
Greatest coach in team history.
Greatest coach in team history. We were talking about that. I was shocked that he came back this year. And you know, one of the things about Sean Payton, he's always had that youthful look, right? He's a notoriously youthful looking man. The fact of the matter is he's 58, 59 years old, and he's worth, Google tells me, $24 million. Bing tells me $24 million. So
there's a very specific reason why he looks the age he does. Let's just say no more.
And he's been looking a little older lately too. You know, I mean, it's like the stress you could see. I mean, you could see, it wasn't a hard leap of the imagination to get here. I don't blame him. I think he's tired of the NFL's bullshit. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the stress. He likes to party. He likes, you know, hanging out with his wife and whatever. I get it. I'm sad. I'm terribly worried for the franchise moving forward. Let's say we get a Dennis Allen or an anybody, we're losing the Sean Payton offensive mind. Unless Carmichael just downloaded it all over all these years. If the new guy keeps Carmichael. But I mean, we're losing that. And so that's key and that's big. There is one silver lining. I've got one happy thought on it, but I'll save it for later. But I'm not totally shocked, and I don't blame them, and I understand, and I'm grateful, you know. And it was the last thing I'll say before I let somebody else talk is, yeah, I took my daughter to a game earlier this year, and we were sitting there in pregame watching all the guys stretching and stuff. And I like was like, look, I was like, ooh, look, there's Coach Payton. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, there's Coach Payton. And I pointed to him. I was like, there's Coach Payton. And that's what you do when there's a legend out there on the field. You know what I mean? There wasn't anybody else on the field. None of the players stretching. I went, oh, look, there's Alvin Kamara. Well, yeah, that's cool. You know, but I went, oh, look, there's Coach Payton.
Let's watch him, see what he does.
There's the legend. There's the legend in the flesh. Little minor squabbles here and there over the years. Got a little too cute, right? Fucking first drives, he could be a little too cute. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, this is when it gets real. Now shit can get real moving forward. We could be headed towards,
I think, all the long period of meter. The funny thing is, like, all the too cute stuff, like, that comes with the territory. You aren't the kind of a legend if you don't get too cute, right? Because 90% of the times when it works, you don't consider it getting too cute, but it was the same fucking thing. Because if the too cute things would have worked, that's the genius, right? Kicking the ambush, right?
Yeah, ambush is a Super Bowl. Say,
if that doesn't work,
if that doesn't work,
that doesn't work, and the Colts just go right down the field.
Who would do that, right? But because exactly. It worked, he's a genius. So,
genius, yeah.
You know, so yeah, like even with the story about Tony Dungy that came, was it Tony Dungy talking about how he changed the night before the plan not to guard Devin Hester on something? It was something I read, and how his faith told him to not guard Devin Hester, and then Devin Hester destroyed them. Like, I don't forget what the story was, but. Good coaches take risks at the end of the day. Okay. And that's what I think. Sean Payton was a risk taker. He was also smarter than 99% of the guys on the field and the entire organization. He psyched people out, right? He thought of things and he did things just to mess with your mind. And he was a master motivator. Just the things that he was able to pull off. I don't know.
I have the same sentiment as Gunn, where, I mean, I've seen over the last couple of days during the speculation, a lot of things of Saints fans saying stuff like, oh, how could he screw us like this? And I can't believe he'd do this to the organization or do this to the players or the fans. I don't have that sentiment at all. I don't think that he owes us anything. I have a lot of empathy, I would say, probably right now, because all the emotions that we've gone through the last, you know, 10 years of terrible losses. I can tell you with the 49ers, Rams, and Vikings, we have three of the worst season endings in the history of football. He went through all those. He went through the bounty gate crap. He's gone through the different quarterbacks. He's gone through. He's built this team, I mean, arguably three or four times. I mean, yes, he had Breeze for three of those builds, but I mean, he built this team multiple times. And everything he's been through and the disappointment that he's felt, that we've all felt, it's stronger for him. And yeah, I mean, he gets paid a lot of money to have those emotions and all, but I mean, he's dealing with this a lot. So my biggest thing that I'll say is I feel empathy for him. Like, I understand why he's tired and why he shouldn't be tired. And I can't even imagine what he went through this season. He's been through two hurricanes. What other NFL coach can say they've dealt with that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everything that you can think of, and it's only been a 15-year career, and you can name tons of things he's been through, the way he started here right after Katrina, and then everything he's been through with us, and then a couple of COVID seasons, and then, he's got to feel a little bit in the back of his head, like every other Saints fan, that we've kind of been targeted. Like, there's Saints fans that, even if you don't believe in the conspiracy, that I don't, but you feel kind of targeted as Saints fans, like with the way calls have been. And there's now stats coming out that we are the most penalized team in the history of the NFL.
There's been those three or four years. I just reinforced. And
I'll be interested to see. And then our opponents are the least
penalized. Like, it's just, he's got to be exhausted. And I'm sure.
I mean, he quit the competition committee earlier too, right? So that's an early.
I think that's huge. Huge.
That was the tell. That was the tell. Now, I'm very curious as to, is all of it, right, what Wes is kind of the last points you were making there, Wes, is that his motivation for like, I'm just done, you know, combined with the fact that I'm my age, my kids point in lives, wanting to spend time with family before it's too late. He's got his new wife. He's got all the money in the world to do whatever he wants to do. So why, and thinking again, 15 years is a long time to coach. It's a long time for any job, but to coach in the NFL for 15 years for one team with the, I mean, it's weird to me because I know it's a long time, but it also feels like it's been 3 years. Yeah. I don't feel like he's been here for 15 years.
I think he'll be back, to be honest. Like, I think he'll step away.
Well, he's got to come get his stuff out of the office. Yeah.
Right. I think he'll step away for maybe 3-4 years. Like I was saying before we started, the most Saint shit ever would be for him to retire for 3 or 4 years, come back, coach the Falcons, and win a Super Bowl.
No. I don't think so.
Just saying. So Eli Apple has to be the happiest guy on Twitter now.
Eli Apple. Don't even bring him up. Funny that our team lives rent-free in his head. He wins a playoff game in the first.
No, I'm just saying he's probably grateful that news is dropping because people will jump off his ass now.
Oh, that. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I was saying, like, could this be Sean Payton's way of switching teams without being an asshole?
No, I think he's generally tired. Like, I think he really is generally needs a break.
Logistically, this doesn't do anything for him switching teams either. He can't, even if he came back if he retired for 3 or 4 years and he came back, we still own his rights. So anywhere he would go,
2024 his contract runs with us. But we
retain 2026.
No, it's 2024.
It's 2024.
But now that'll be paused. He can't just take away until 2024 and then come back. Like anytime he comes back, somebody's gonna have to trade for him because his contract pauses.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's
number of years, not which year it is.
So yes. Internally, if the plan is for him to take some time off and come back, one, I don't think the wording would be he's retiring. I think the wording would be he's taking
stepping
a break.
Stepping away.
Yeah.
I think he's planning right now. I think he might think of it as that there's a possibility he never coaches again for any team. I think that's in his head is a possibility.
He's not coming back here if he does come back. Like I agree with Wes. Like I think he's so tired that he can't even see that right now, like that far ahead into the future. Like he just wants out for right now. And once he's out and gets rested, the envy might reemerge in him to come back. But it won't be to the Saints. I mean, it'll be somewhere else.
I wonder why it wouldn't be though. This is the house you built. I mean, it's your team. Nah. You have no one to answer to.
It won't be his team when he comes back.
It really won't. It'll be a totally different team.
True.
And you know.
So where are we going to go from everybody, here?
Everybody's had their kind of say, and everybody's been quite nice about it, and everybody's been, you know, they understand it. I do understand it. But I'm pissed. And the reason I'm pissed is because he's quit on the team. Right? This team this year, with all the adversity that they faced, they didn't quit on him. They didn't quit at all. You know, we got to 9 wins, right? This might be a controversial kind of look at it. But he's quit on this team. You know, he's got a contract until 2024. He's got the best defense he's ever had. And we were a Jameis Winston injury away from probably being deep into the playoffs this year.
Based on what I've seen these playoffs, we could very well be in the NFC Championship game.
We would have had the best defense in this playoffs.
James, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Fire away.
You ever been divorced?
No.
Okay. Contract's only a contract till it's not a contract anymore.
I've not mentioned
an agreement's contract. Only an agreement till it ain't an agreement anymore. Sometimes you, once you've decided to take that to walk that wall, you're done, right? You're finished.
Yeah,
you're done.
No. But that the doesn't mean I can't be pissed about
stay.
It.
The worst thing you can do is stay. But I understand you'd be pissed. I understand you'd be pissed. Nobody's under contracts anymore, James. That's why I can't even watch college football.
This is not about his contract. This isn't about his contract. This is quitting on the team.
James, I get your emotion, and I think that If this was a quarterback that we had built a team around and, you know, brought in certain receivers or whatever to build for this certain quarterback, and he was forcing his way out, I would agree. And I think it's hard to separate because we're one of the few teams that, even as Gunn said, we have a coach who is a superstar. So it's tough to differentiate the coach versus what we'd feel if a player was. I get where you're coming from, and I would feel that way if this was a player that we had, you know, built a specific team around. But I mean, he is the builder of this team. These players that didn't quit on him, as you say, like, those are his players. I think that he's got more of an ownership role in this team than even Gail Benson does, as far as the blood, sweat, and tears and what he's put in, and that he really does make GM level decisions. So
does that not make it worse? He's walking away then.
No, I mean,
does that not make it worse?
If he was saying like, "Oh, I'm done with New Orleans. I don't want to rebuild, but I'm going to go coach the Tennessee Titans next year." Yeah, I'd be mad. But I think he's generally saying like, "This has drained the life out of me. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in me anymore." And I'd much rather him do that than be a shitty coach next year.
Do you see how the other like phone it in? Right?
Do you see how mean he was to Cat Terrell this year?
Okay, all right. So I'm glad you brought that up, because part of it's like, to me, it's right. It's got to be something where it's drained the life out of him. Right now, the question that I have is, what specifically is draining the life out of him? Now, we know we talked about the targeting of the NFL and all the referees and the officiating. I sometimes wonder how much like the shitty local news media coverage, like the fact that he has to answer Cat Terrell's questions in the press conferences. Hold on, let me finish. It's a compliment of things. And he's also an old school guy. He's comes from kind of like our days where you could say things, you could do things, you practiced. It was all about hard work and ethic, you know, commitment to being champions. Nowadays, in the, say, woke society that we live in, it's more about what you say. It's more about the NFL having all these policies and procedures that you have to go through. He can't coach his football team anymore. He can't even say to players things that he could have said 15 years ago. And he might be looking at it from that standpoint. Like, I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. What I'm saying is it's a young man's coaching game now. It's not for the old school footballers.
I think if Coach Sean Payton had some kind of reputation like Bobby Knight, you could apply that argument,
mm-hmm.
but he's never like, he's not an ill-tempered guy.
Well, he's smart enough not to pull it off, but I don't think it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of mental energy to keep yourself in check, to not say things to players that you want to say, to not, I'm not saying like punch a player in the head like Arians did or kick a player like Urban Meyer did, but to hit your players. I'm not advocating that you hit them, but you know what? The old school mentality, you can't be that anymore in today's NFL. And he might say, I don't want to coach if I can't be like that.
I brought up Kat and her Coach Payton snapping at her a couple times this year just to illustrate that he was fucking tired. And he just, you know, and he'd never, and look, we've had Moras and Ditkas around here that were abusive and shitty to media and other folks in the building. That's not who Coach Sean Payton is, but you could just see, he just was a different level of frustrated this year. Dude, I wouldn't want that. They stick that Q-tip up your nose three times a week now to work in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't fuck. I'm done with that.
Right. Dude. I got 28. Well, whatever you said his net worth is, all this stuff. I'm not dealing with this. Bye. I don't have it in me. It's not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
Could be. And James, I get that you're pissed. Like, I'm pissed. I'm not pissed at him. I'm pissed at the situation, right? I'm pissed that we as Saints fans are going through this. But at the same, I level set my pissed offness to know that, like, at least the man brought us a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, right, I've got a tiny bit of experience of this type of thing happening in soccer. Right? My team, Manchester United, Gunn, you'll know what I'm talking about, had a manager for 26 years. And in that 26 years, Manchester United dominated, literally dominated European football. He left. He was nearly 80, so he left, you know, and it was when he was going to retire. And since that day, so in 2014, since then, we have been abysmal.
How many managers? How many different managers since 2014?
Five now.
Five since 2014.
Five since 2014, and United had one manager for 26 years.
Every time you lose a great, the hole that is left in their wake is
the stability. The stability.
That's, stability, the culture. Yeah. Nobody's,
that's the somebody fear can come in. Now.
That's a legitimate fear, Jim.
Yeah,
that's
very legitimate fear. I mean, you look at like the Dolphins, Don Shula for there for so long.
They still haven't recovered.
Done, right. You look
at. They still haven't recovered, no.
I mean, the 49ers are kind of getting into it now after Walsh left, but that it took was them a long years. Time, right, to get back into it. The Bears still haven't. I mean, not that Dicka was that great, but. You know, they haven't gotten back to anything. The Giants
have a great
haven't
defense,
got,
though.
Yeah, the Giants haven't gotten back to part, you know, after Parcells left.
But a lot of that is organization. Cowboys. Right? It's more than just, a lot of it is also the organization, the front office and whatnot.
Right.
And that's my, what I'm waiting to see proof in the pudding is this is going to tell us how strong the front office is whether or not this is truly like a Peyton and Loomis team or if this is truly Peyton's team.
You can only hope that the culture that Peyton and Breeze brought to New Orleans. Cause I mean, before they came here, we were wearing bags on our heads, right? You know, so they changed it when they came in 06. You just hope that the change, that they were here long enough and the change was great enough, then the roots are deep enough that it stays. And, you know, it's going to be hard because
I worry about complacency, especially in the city of New Orleans.
Like it is going to be
New Orleans. Let's be honest. I mean, the people of New Orleans with the politics in New Orleans, and I'm not necessarily talking about the mayor's office specifically, but just general politics in general are a lot of it's in any city has it, but in New Orleans is a little different. Like once you're in that position, nobody's going to take it from you. So I can just ride the status quo.
There is complacency.
That's what got us in the problems that Trump had to come and fix.
People who live in New Orleans usually don't go anywhere. Like they don't travel a lot. They don't even want to fucking go to Metairie or Kenner because it's too far. Right. I mean, it's the way New Orleans is. And they always have been. They stay in their neighborhood and they are going to stay there till they're born there and they're going to die there.
Right. Change is bad.
Right. And it's, you know, change is scary. I mean, in any instance, it is. I think you can forget Russell Wilson coming here next year. I think if he came, it would be because of Sean Payton. I don't know, you know, you don't have a quarterback
Does Jameis
right
even
now,
come
either.
Back next year?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what to expect at this point.
Do we go all to the wall and go QB in the first round of the draft?
A better question, another, your question asked differently, James, your question asked differently is, does somebody like a Jameis or does somebody like a Russell Wilson take that little discount that we would need to come here.
Coming for Peyton. You mean
right.
to play
You're
for Peyton.
You're coming for Peyton.
Yeah, Jameis
came 2 years ago for Peyton. For, you know, Teddy came here and gave us a discount rate for Peyton. Jameis did the same thing to learn Peyton and Drew. We lose that now. You don't have don't have either one of them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
do y'all want to hear the silver lining?
Taysom.
Yeah,
Taysom's, I mean, the love affair with Taysom is probably out the window.
Right, that's enough of Taysom Hill.
No, I'm being serious. I mean, Peyton had a love affair with Taysom Hill, and that's why he was here. Is he gone now?
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe.
Go on, Gun. I need
as a quarterback, yes.
Is that Gun silver lining? We don't have to deal with the fucking Taysom.
That's another Jameis. Silver lining. Thank you for the positivity, Scott. That's actually a very good point. Rare glimmer of positivity out of Scott.
Right, there you go.
We might not have to deal with Taysom anymore. Okay, I like that. Here's my silver lining. It's a little bit of a reach. So, you know, we've said over the last couple of years pretty a lot. You hear it said a lot on our shows that, you know, when the schism happened between Gale, you know, when the Bensons went to dissolve the trust, right, and the coaching staff and the front office, I mean, your Loomises and everybody had to choose sides. Mm-hmm. Everybody chose Team Gale, right? And we always like to joke about no accountability, no account. Well, there's no accountability because everybody chose the right side.
Okay.
They chose Gale. They all worked near the, and that's part of the reason why Gale won. And we theorize that Gale would never hold any of these guys accountable if they started to suck.
Right.
Because of their loyalty when the family trust when thing happened. And so in an alternate universe, where Sean Payton sticks, let's say Sean Payton sticks around too long. Right. And we start to have years of bullshit and mediocrity out of Sean Payton. I guess the silver lining is we're never going to be like, man, Sean stuck around too long. Because I kind of feel that about to be.
So it's the Seinfeld,
even a hot controversial top, take,
right?
Yeah, he's going out on an ass beating of the Falcons,
right? And you can't blame him for this. I that is a silver lining, and I agree. Like, I would rather ask what if he stayed, what more could have been done, than look back and say, man, he should have left 3 years ago.
Because I feel that way about Drew.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe the tiredness would make him coach bad like that, I guess.
Phone it in. Your heart's not in it.
Senile. This guy had an open ticket to stay here as long as he fucking wanted. He could have stayed till he was 80.
And that's why I don't. That's the one thing where I don't know if he goes and coaches another team, because he's not going to have the control somewhere else like he did here. Like, he ain't going to Dallas and have the fucking control he has here.
See, I don't think he's coach again. I think if anything, he gets a TV deal.
But yeah, I don't think that's going to satisfy him. I think that'll last him a few years, and he's going to get the itch again.
And how'd that work out for John Gruden?
But again, he hasn't had that title.
He was winning here, before he got emails found out against him. You think Sean Payton's sending racist emails to people?
We don't know.
Well, then if it comes out, it comes out. I mean, I guess Goodell could target him like that again.
Oh, you know he would.
I know if there's there, he'll find it.
Never
don't
been
think he would have found that, it by so, now, no, or do you think Sean he was Payton's just like that. Tortured? Right. So,
I mean, the control he's had here, if he wanted, people know that he has been a major part of our personnel decisions and who we bring in, even though Loomis is our GM. If Sean Payton demanded in a couple of years, like, to get another job, but he needed to be a head coach / GM, like, there's plenty of places that would give him control because of what he's built multiple times. And on top of being an offensive genius. So I don't think that I get what everybody's saying about the control he's had here, but to think that there's not another team that would replicate that because of his success, I just don't see that. One thing I was going to say is this is now, there's currently with the Saints job now 9 head coaching jobs available, and just hitting them real quick. You've got the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Bears, the Dolphins, Giants, and Texans, Raiders. And Raiders.
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this. I get it. I don't know where we can rank the Saints in there. Yes, we don't have a quarterback. We have a great defense. We're set up. I think the low-hanging fruit is, I mean, all of us, you think you put Dennis Allen in as the head coach, and you put Chris Richard in as the defensive coordinator. I think this is a job with this many openings and this many coaches out there. This is a job that, like, we should interview some people for. And if Dennis Allen's the 4th best head coach in all of the NFL, why doesn't he have an NFL head coaching job? Yeah. And maybe he will be the next coach here. Maybe he will do a great job. And if we hire him, I'll be happy. I just don't think that it's automatic.
8-28 record.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason. Everybody, we always want to say that whoever's our backup would be a great starter somewhere else. Well, I mean, maybe Dennis Allen will be a great head coach his next time around with this team, but maybe he's just an awesome defensive coordinator too.
Who do you want? You could pick anybody available, realistically. Is there anybody you want?
I want Payton back, man.
I would prefer an offensive minded coach because I think our defense is strong. Obviously you need to bring in, if you get an offensive minded coach and Dennis Allen doesn't stay as DC, you need to either promote somebody or bring somebody in who can run that defense. But we got to get our offense back, right? I mean, that's the thing that's lacking right now. So And I've always been more of an offensive minded coaching guy. That's just me. I mean, defensive coaches are good, but I always like offensive minded coaches better. That's just my opinion. And that's, like I said, that's just me.
I normally agree with that. And if we had Drew Brees, I would say that, but I think that this identity of this team has greatly shifted defense. The last two seasons.
Yeah. But you've got to bring in somebody to develop a quarterback or you're not going to win. Look what happened this year. I mean, you say if we had Jameis, Peyton developed Jameis over the past couple of years. You have to have somebody who can come in and do that.
So
you're not going to be successful.
If we're on the defensive side, I like Leslie Frazier from the Bills and Matt Eberflus from the Colts. Eberflus has definitely done a lot with having a complete change of roster and kept a good base of defense and defensive scheme, and has inspired his people to play for him. But both of those are two defensive type guys that I would be interested in.
I would have said yes to Leslie Frazier before seeing the way he called his defense. He coached
himself out of the job this past week.
He went full Greg Williams.
And he was a Vikings head coach too. Yeah, he was. He's already shown himself.
Well, we were talking in the group chat before. Yeah, Scott mentioned Eric Bieniemy, right? He mentioned him.
I wasn't going to talk about that.
No, but I'm going to say it now. Where's Eric Bieniemy from?
He played in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, he played in Cleveland. He's from New Orleans.
And look, and we were talking about before in the group chat, and, Jeff, you brought up that maybe he doesn't interview well. You know, the head coaching thing is a full-rounded thing, which I do agree with, but there are exceptions to the rule. Look at Belichick. You know, he's not great with the media and all that crap, but he can coach. I don't know. And it could be that he interviews bad. I have no idea.
I mean, job interview, not media interview.
Right.
And it could be nobody should ever head coaching decision based on how they interview in the media. That's how you pick your quarterback.
Well, right.
But
that's how you end up with Dan Campbell.
Right. Yeah. What I'm talking about is like Bieniemy, like how is it that he's had so many interviews for so many
years? I don't know.
Never gotten the job. There's gotta be something that the league knows about him to where great coordinator, not like whatever the difference between a coordinator job and a head coaching job is, that might not be his strength, right? And I'm thinking more organization, like a head coach, and a lot of the head coach, like think of like a head coach in college football, right? You're not even coaching the team. It's a freaking figurehead and a motivator and whatnot. Whereas in the NFL, it's a business job as much as it is a football job. And you could outsource the football to all of your assistants and your coordinators where you don't need any football acumen. Yeah. What do you decide? You go for one or two? You're going to go for it on fourth down? That's it.
James and I were talking before everybody came on that this has to have been a conversation. This isn't something new to Loomis and probably Gale. Like, this has to be a conversation that they have had with Sean Payton either before this year or in the middle of this year or whenever. And I have to think that they probably already have a plan in place. I really honestly think it's going to be Dennis Allen. And they either move Nielsen or someone up to defensive coordinator. Maybe the guy who's interviewing for, the Bears? Was it the Bears? I don't know. The Steelers. From us. I can't think of his name.
Richard, you're talking about Richard.
Yeah, it was tweeted out today. I don't know. He was interviewing for a defensive coordinator with the Steelers. Yeah, I really think that might be the plan, and that might be announced today too. When Peyton,
yesterday's meeting was all about the plan, right?
Or announced tomorrow. Peyton have his day and then announce the coach tomorrow. Something I just thought of, and I haven't really delved deep into this, but when you were talking about college football. I know Harbaugh has been talking about coming back in the pros from Michigan. I'm not saying I want him. I'm just saying that just popped into my head when you mentioned college football. I don't know.
It's so funny because when you say Harbaugh, like my initial reaction is to flinch and go, because I don't want like some big name, big personality coach. I almost like, let's go find a hidden gem. And maybe that is Bieniemy. He's a New Orleans guy. And the media started to pick up in the last couple of years on the fact that he's been getting passed over. You know, like they blow out in the fourth quarter, they'll pan over to Bieniemy on the sideline for the Chiefs, and Troy Aikman will say something like, "Well, you know, there's a guy should have got his job long time ago, but it's gonna come soon." You know, like how often does that happen? A lot.
Right. It's, all the talking heads feel like he should be a head coach, but none of the decision makers to hire head coaches agree. And here's what I want. I want the person that Roger Goodell loves. Like I am done fighting the league. I am ready to get a laptop. Give me a Belichick or a Brady type person.
Like I said, I'd be interested to see moving forward from here, the bell graph of the penalties. Like, I want to see if it's going to start trending in our direction now that Peyton's gone. And I've said that before. Like, we're not going to win until Sean Payton leaves, or we're not going to get calls until Sean Payton leaves.
Or if we continue on this, then it's not about Goodell and Peyton. It's about Goodell and this entire
Saints, right? Or if it's Dennis Allen, maybe it's because he was on the team before. I don't know.
I was just about to say, like, the thing with Dennis Allen, you're staying in house, which there's a pro to that because you can have a better chance of keeping the culture. But the con of that is, are you cutting off any potential for, you know what I mean? Like, why would you just immediately be like, okay, we're going to promote this guy rather than let's hold on, take a look and see what's out there before we make that decision.
My mind's made up. I've already figured it out. All right. Bieniemy solves the problem of, you, like we said earlier, got to be somebody that understands New Orleans. What better than a guy from New Orleans? One of the other things we said, it'd be awesome to get a coach that brings some kind of like offensive firepower prowess with him. Dude, if he can bring some of that Kansas City magic, some of that Kansas City offense over here. Well, yeah. I mean, let's go. Look at, to borrow a reference to Pelicans, like Van Gundy. Dude, Van Gundy just didn't get it. Van Gundy just didn't get New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like something didn't happen there. Something didn't connect. And that's the danger of bringing an outsider to New Orleans. You know, but Sean Payton was just kind of cool. And he could fit in. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Payton was kind of that guy. He could fit into the New Orleans. It's a big thing. Like I said, when y'all were talking about it earlier, it didn't really jump out to me, but it's like we need somebody that's got a little bit of that New Orleans. They understand New Orleans.
I really want to know why everybody passes on him.
I don't know. Because it's a thing. It's a thing that has happened.
You cannot ignore that.
Or Leftwich could be an option.
But sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I'd rather be in it because Leftwich, a lot of his success is because it's Tom Brady, not because it's he wasn't successful. This Bieniemy thing. You know the old thing like where everybody passes, you hear those stories, right? Everybody said no. And the one who said yes, and it led to great success.
Like we did.
What if this is the Bieniemy story? Right. Like, what if this is the Bieniemy story where everybody said no and the Saints took that
home? He comes home to New Orleans
and wins not one, not two, but three titles.
Oh, yeah. Every year a title.
And we're all like, Sean Payton leaving was the greatest thing ever.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Go on, Wesley.
It's the world I live in.
Diana Rossini just tweeted out that, Peyton said that if he was going to make a move, he felt like it had to be now, but he has said that he is not done coaching football in the future.
Wow.
And one thing I was going to say is, I know, Gunn, you said something about it the other day with Rappaport with some of his things in 15 and 16 with claiming that Peyton was possibly going to go to the Chargers and Giants and stuff like that. One thing that didn't get out is a huge thing, but I mean, I've heard is that he was trying to leave back then. He was interested in going and working somewhere else. He just didn't get the offers he thought he was going to. So maybe like we're sitting here and we know that he buys into the culture of New Orleans and parties with the team and all. Maybe the whole New Orleans and him being the, you know, part of the city and all that stuff isn't as big a deal. Maybe it was just a job.
15 and 16. No, but 15 and 16, that was just contract posturing. That was just getting more money with him, isn't it? All these agents, they use Rappaport like a puppet. That's all they do.
I mean, that is what it is. People that know way more than me said he was 100% trying to leave during that time and did not get the offers that he wanted. So I just, I mean, just saying. So him leaving now and then Rossini now coming out saying that he is going to coach again. I mean, maybe we're taking this more personal than we thought. And this is, I mean, him being an honorary son of New Orleans isn't really the case. I mean, maybe this was a job. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he doesn't want to go through a rebuild again. And he pops up in a couple of years somewhere else and then never even mentions New Orleans again.
Maybe you all want to join me in the being pissed off of Peyton corner.
Maybe James is right there. We'll find out the next couple of days, probably, or a couple of weeks.
Probably got his windshield. He probably got his car window, his truck window smashed out. And he said, fuck it. I've had enough. I'm out.
Yeah. He saw Underhill got his smashed.
Yeah, Underhill got, they got Underhill too.
Jumping ahead slightly now. Clearly, the team have been scouting college players based on a Sean Payton team. Mm-hmm. Right, there's going to be a new coach that comes in. So does this completely screw up, or will they still stick to the board? How does that work when the coach leaves now before the draft? How would that work?
Well, I think it's better that he leaves now, because it, you know, the worst thing that could have happened is that he stuck around and hem-hawed and waited to make a decision until 3 weeks from now, right? So I think you have time to adjust. As soon as you can put somebody in place who comes in and again, that goes back to that, the head coach job is to set the vision. It's the captain of the ship, right? They just set the vision. Mm-hmm. They set the strategy. They set the tone. They set the culture. And then everybody executes against that vision, against that strategy. So yeah, like I think there's an element of like when you're scouting players, I mean, there's a certain level of scouting that like it doesn't matter what your fucking strategy is. You got that list, right? You're top tier. This is just great athletes. I would hope that the new coach that comes in, because Sean Payton's whole mentality is take the best athletes, right? Regardless of need, almost. Well, and then if you can fit need, then you do that. But I mean, if you fit, I don't know. I'm not worried about that.
No. Well, yeah, we've got to assume that the new coach is going to be in place fairly quickly, right?
I mean, if it's Dennis Allen, he'll be in place right now.
Well, they got.
Well, they've got to interview, haven't they? They've got to.
Yeah, I have a silver lining, too. Ooh,
sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jesus.
You ready?
Two in one episode.
And this is a maybe silver lining. We'll have to wait and see.
I got another one when you're done.
Maybe we'll start drafting LSU players.
Oh!
Silver lining. I like that one.
All right.
But LSU have not been good for 2 years.
Oh, okay. You wouldn't take Joe Burrow right now? LSU was all over the playoffs this weekend. All over the playoffs.
Scott, are you suggesting that Orgeron gets the job?
That's a big negative.
Bring that maniac to town. Put him in the
world. Does Brian Kelly want to come into the NFL?
I want the Louisiana culture. That's it right there.
Yeah. He knows La Rose. He don't know New Orleans.
All right. What was your silver lining?
My next silver lining is that when this sumbitch takes a year off and then agrees to be the Cowboys coach next year after they get rid of that fraud of a coach that they have. And so he just gets his little recharge and then he goes to Dallas. Then Dallas is going to have to give us some draft picks for all those two firsts and two thirds and all that shit that Peyton's traded away in the last few years. So we'll recoup some draft picks out of this.
Ah, I really don't want him coaching in Dallas, though.
I think that's what's going to happen. When Wes just said that,
why would he want to go to Dallas?
He's not done with football. If he's not done with football, I take back all the nice things I said about him. He can go fuck himself.
Yeah, like
if everybody's coming to join me.
I will say,
like, I'm on Team James now.
If this is just a move to get out of New Orleans, then I'm on James, Team James. Yeah, absolutely. Then fuck this
and quit on and we should, whatever team signs him next, we should not accept anything less than a first round draft pick for him,
right?
Because we got to negotiate that.
Especially if that team is in the NFC,
for sure. So, but we've been all over the place.
Yeah. So,
well, it's an instant reaction, Wes.
Sean Payton is officially leaving. Saints players on Twitter seem shocked. So did he not even tell the team before he told?
Not until this morning.
Doesn't look like it. Looks like they're finding out from the media.
Wow, what the fuck is going on? Like,
they're not in town. Like, yeah, there's
Quan
no,
Alexander.
Like, unless well, he sent a fucking email.
Fucking group text. Send a
WhatsApp.
Send a WhatsApp. Yeah. WhatsApp.
Like, but everybody looks at the WhatsApp, Jeff.
Okay. But maybe so. Like, CD Deuce, kind of new, get it, whatever. But, like, Cam Jordan didn't even get a heads up. Cam Jordan was taken by surprise.
I don't, I honestly, and this was reported, I think, a day or two ago. Jay Glazer said he changes his mind from second to second. Like, I think that is 100% accurate. Like, I think he has gone back and forth on this so many times in his head that
he wasn't going to tell the players.
He wasn't going to tell anybody because he might change his. He calls and says, "Hey, Cam, I'm retiring." And then 5 minutes later, he's like, "Oh, shit. Maybe I'm not."
That's another thing.
Then he calls him back.
That's another thing Rossini just tweeted. He's changed his mind several times since we were eliminated, and calling it a recharge for now is the best description.
And when Scott, you're right. When that Glazer article came out, that's the one yesterday that I paid attention to. Rappaport can go fuck himself.
Jay Glazer's got Sean Payton's ear.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when and what he said sounded the most plausible out of what anybody was saying. Right. He changes his mind. Clearly.
I'm going with Bienemy as my, not my prediction, but my hope. Like, that's who I want. You know what? Because you can experiment with a bunch of different, like, you can pick this guy. You can pick this guy. Everybody's got a, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. So why not get the guy who's taken the Kansas City Chiefs? And like Andy Reid gets credit for all the success of Kansas City, but you know, with any position, it's the whole coaching staff, their offense. I'd rather gamble with that offensive success than with anybody else, any other names. Like, you talk about this guy over here who pulled a Greg Williams this weekend. Everybody comes with risk.
Are you expecting him to bring Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill with him?
Yes, 100%.
I'm not a Bienemy fan.
Jeff, you're joining me in the circus.
To give him, I mean, maybe he gets credit, but we see over there, like, Andy Reid does a lot of their offensive, is very involved in their offense. And Patrick Mahomes is also calls a lot of plays and is their offensive coordinator a lot. So, I mean,
Patrick Mahomes just shouts at Travis Kelce and says, do it, right? That's their offense.
He's not gonna have those players here. So, I mean, I guess we'd find out pretty quick if he was good. I'd rather have somebody that I trust more, that has more skin than one, has at least led a team before. Even somebody like Dennis Allen, who's done it and done a bad job of it.
That's fair.
At least he has an idea of how big the job is, knows why he failed before and what he would do different this time.
That is a fair rebuttal. That is true. I did not consider the fact that Bienemy benefits from the roster that he's got. That counts.
Maybe he could build a roster like that here then.
At Jameis and Marquez Callaway.
Yeah.
Do you think all this is different when in 2017 the Chiefs didn't jump ahead of us to draft Mahomes?
Maybe.
I don't know, but I laugh at Lane Kiffin's tweet here.
Yeah, that's funny. When I saw that, I had to laugh when I saw that one.
I'm so bitter we didn't get him at LSU.
We're fine.
Well, you might get him in New Orleans. Look like he's flying in for
it,
an
interview. I'd fucking take it, dude. All right, change my vote to.
Oh, we're like Sean Payton. We keep changing our minds.
Reports say Gunn is prone to change his mind.
So are there any college coaches that any college?
It's so hard, though, James. It doesn't. Rarely works.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's probably.
Well, that's why I said Harbaugh, because he's coached. Harbaugh's coached in the pros. That's why I mentioned his name. Yeah,
coached in the Super Bowl.
I guess I just throw this out there. Let's say 3 or 4 years from now, we hire whoever we hire. Saints are in the toilet. Peyton's like, I want to come back. Do you think he come back to New Orleans?
That's my answer to that.
So that's a 1% chance that you say no.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm just asking. Like, what do you think percentage of chance would be? 1%, James?
1%.
Okay.
All right.
So no? Okay.
So I thought this was going to be a 30 minute, but it ended up being over almost an hour. So really quick, if you have a
30 second.
If you have a final thought, share it now.
Here's my final thought. All right. So thank you, Kitty. So Sean Payton, $12 million salary. Don't have to pay that anymore. All right. Let's go find us a nice young coach on the up and coming. Get him for about $2 million a year. Take that $10 million. Invest it in additional bathrooms and amenities in Champion Square.
And the dome.
No, Champion Square specifically.
There are no bathrooms in Champion Square, are there?
It's pretty shitty. I accidentally didn't find a bathroom in time one time there.
Isn't there that little bar in the corner behind the stage?
No, they have built
club in that. That's now. An indoor club, but there's
something or other.
They have built in bathrooms on both sides of Champion Square now.
Club Super Bowl number.
Yeah, but they still form a line.
So I'll say this. I guess I want to. I think it's still a little bit of a shock, but I just want to say thank you to Coach Sean Payton for everything he's done for our organization, for bringing us a Super Bowl. I mean, we were lucky, guys. He's the second longest tenured coach to NFL.
He started that rebuild after Katrina. That's him.
Yeah. I mean, we have been lucky the past 15 years.
Stop being positive about it.
I know we've had a lot of heartache, you know, with the no call, which was totally not his fault. I don't know. But anyway, just thank you for everything you've done for this city, for this organization.
He ain't listening.
I know. He might
be. Yes, he is. He's a confirmed listener.
Okay. And
fuck you, Coach Payton.
Oh. Damn. I know it's been hard, but
the views and opinions of James does not reflect that of the Dome Patrol podcast.
I'm trying to get him on as a guest, James.
Come on. Scott's got a really heartfelt message he's trying to get out here.
He can come on as a guest one day.
Scott's trying to say something beautiful.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I just want to thank the guy. Like, you know, he deserves his break.
First you get Leah Van, then you get Sean Payton.
Yeah, I just emailed her.
All right.
So, I said what I said, and I am pissed. I do think he's quitting on the team, but he's given the Saints the most successful run that the team has ever had. Will that ever even be replicated over that length of time? Probably not. Look, the disappointing thing for me is it only got one Super Bowl out of that run. We should have won it in 2011, and we definitely should have won it in 2018. You know, he should be leaving. He should be leaving with three Super Bowls minimum with that team. And that's the disappointing side of it. 2011, it was Greg Williams and a bullshit play call against the 49ers. And then don't even get me started on 2018. But yeah.
It is like, as much as you're right, like the success, and we changed somebody, all the greatest coach in Saints history. And yet still also what I think may be one of the most unaccomplished potential in NFL history, right? I mean, what this team could have done in this last 15 years and what actually got done, what got done is a lot. What could have been done is a ton more.
I mean, it's just, you know, where's
Wesley? Dynasty. We're talking Wesley dynasty. We missed before. The dynasty.
Beastquake in 2010, the 49ers game in 2011, the Minnesota Miracle, the Rams game, Drew Brees' last game where Brady, you know, Jared Cook fumble, you know, the Vikings playoff game in the dome where there's pass interference. Three Super Bowls minimum it should have been.
Minimum, potentially five. Yeah.
The difference between us and Sean Payton is that we can't leave. We're stuck.
Speak for yourself, motherfucker.
We got for life forever. We're in for life.
Wesley, do you have any final thoughts? You're contemplating. You're looking contemplatively out of the window.
kind of same thing we've talked about. So I'm not mad about it. Like, I definitely want to. I think we've got to make the right hire. I think that this is he is a big personality replace, and I don't think this is a organization or team like whatever Gale is as far as an owner and figurehead and as controlling as Loomis is. We need a head coach that's going to come in and hold himself accountable to making good decisions. Because like we've all talked about, and everybody just referenced, we don't know if there's somebody to hold them accountable if they do bad. So I want an experienced coach that's going to do a good job and be able to actually handle the job as coach, not just be an offensive coordinator, and come in and help run this organization, because that's what Sean Payton has done. He's been a huge decision maker and figurehead here.
I'm going to laugh my ass off when they announce Pete Carmichael as the head coach.
Fuck it. Bring it. I don't care.
Let's get Dan Campbell and back
watch
out
him,
of the Lions.
And watch yeah, bring Dan watch Campbell back. Hey, bring Dan Campbell home.
You know, hey, Aaron Glenn is going to probably get an interview if somebody does. So wouldn't be surprised. They really were sad to lose.
I've just seen a tweet about Aaron Glenn. Actually, somebody who works for PFF saying the Saints should interview Aaron Glenn.
They were sad to lose him last year. They thought he was a potential defensive coordinator here. If Dennis Allen left, so wouldn't be surprised to see him get an interview.
Is Ditka still alive?
No.
Shut the fuck up. All right. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We didn't do pick'em, so we're gonna have to figure out a pick'em segment here. We want to thank our loyal listeners for now. Oh, you know what? Let's do a fast pick'ems. Hang on.
We can only two games.
Yeah, it's two games, and we can do
I got
it.
The odds
we'll
ready.
We'll give everybody. Oh, you got odds. I was gonna say we could do it without a spread. All right,
straight up. I know the.
Yeah, we're doing it with a spread. What are you?
The Bengals are getting. I know the Bengals are getting plus +7.
Lane Kiffin has now tweeted another tweet with a picture of a window that says outside. With a sticker that says Who Dat Nation
I see that.
In it.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
He has those like stuck in his phone. Like he has those control. I love Lane Kiffin.
I love him.
I'd like right. Lane Kiffin to come.
All right, so we got Cincinnati at Kansas City.
Kansas City's favored by 7.
All right. What's this? Wait. Expect the Saints to interview Dennis Allen. Considered the leading candidate and
Lions defense coordinator
Aaron Glenn for their new vacant head coach job.
I don't know that they wouldn't move up Nielsen to D coordinator.
Well, I'd like to get all three of those guys on in the coaching. Yeah. You know, Dennis Allen, Aaron Glenn, and Ryan Nielsen together.
Yeah. All right. So pick'ems.
Cincinnati
Bengals at Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 7. I'm going to take Joey B and the Bengals.
You know what? I am going to take the Bengals. I think this is going to be a close game, so I'm taking points.
I remember watching the Bengals-Chiefs game. Was it week 15, week 16? And I know it was in Cincinnati, but the Bengals played them hard, and it was a 3-point win for the Bengals.
For the Bengals, yeah.
I am going 17. To take Cincinnati, too.
Ooh-wee. Wesley? Oh, he left.
Wes and Gunn left. All right. The second game... The 49ers at the Rams. The Rams are favored by 3.5.
Rams by 3.5.
Yes, I am taking the Rams.
I don't know about this one, you know. Is it 6 in a row that the 49ers have beaten the Rams?
Something like that, but have they beaten
the Rams? It's hard to 3.5 win that points? Many times in a row, man.
No, give me the Rams.
Rams are going to win that game.
Yeah. By more than 3.5 points?
Oh, I don't even bet on the championship round.
Oh. This is pick'ems. We're not betting. So,
if this online betting starts this weekend, I will be betting this weekend.
Oh, I'm going to do some same game parlays on FanDuel all day.
Yeah, all I'm going to take – I'm taking the Rams on this one.
All right. So we're all on Cincinnati. We're all on the Rams.
Yeah, that's it.
But so in terms of what you think the Super Bowl is going to be then?
I think Cincinnati's going to play the Rams.
Yeah. As long as it's not
Brady,
I'm good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be
49ers are going to win that game. 49ers got that, dude.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Kansas City versus the Rams in the Super
Actually,
Bowl.
You know what? I'm going to take San Fran in this one.
It's Kansas City, San Fran.
Separation, but the other reason is the thing about the 49ers, man, is they stick around because of their defense. They're like the Saints in a sense. Their offense is not that good, but their defense keeps them in games and they wear
they beat
down.
They beat the Rams without scoring an offense.
And like
touchdown.
The Rams did what they did against Tampa Bay because they match up well against Tampa Bay. I don't see them doing the same thing.
Yeah. The 49ers have injected something into Deebo Samuel these playoffs. I don't know what it is, but it surely can't be legal.
Cincinnati, San Fran, we're going to have a repeat of the, what was it, the 1984?
I was in the dome.
Was it 86 or 87? I thought it was after. the Bears. Was it the year after the Bears?
I think it was after 80, the Bears. No, 80. It was in the Dome, so it had to have been after the Bears. Because the Bears game
the Bears were 85. So, yeah, either 86 or 87.
It couldn't have been the next year because both games were in the Dome.
82.
I'm sure it was before.
Was it 82? 82. The 49ers beat the Bengals 26-21 to win their first ever Super Bowl. January 24th, 1982 for the 81 season in the Pontiac Silver.
No. There was another game in the Dome. There was another. Maybe that was – there was another one in the Dome, I thought. San Francisco.
They played twice, haven't they?
In the Super Bowl.
They played twice in the Super Bowl, haven't they?
Who?
The Bengals,
San Francisco, and the
San
Bengals.
Francisco. They played here. They played in New Orleans.
So 1988, maybe record 12-1.
No, San Francisco beat Denver in the Super Bowl.
Won the AFC Championship. Lost. Yes. Yeah, so it was Denver. So in 1988, they lost to the 49ers 16-20. In 1988.
Joe Robbie Stadium, Miami in 89. San Francisco beat Cincinnati as well.
Okay. So it was the 88 season, 89 was the date of the game.
Yes.
Okay. So it is San Francisco, Cincinnati, this will be the third time that those two teams met each other in the Super Bowl. And would that mean that every single Cincinnati Super Bowl would have been against San Francisco?
I think so.
Could you imagine being Cincinnati?
I know, right?
But that's how you know, like, Cincinnati fans are probably cheering for San Francisco.
For the Rams.
No, for San Francisco. Because it's like, if San Francisco's in it, it means we have a shot. Because in order for us to get there, San Francisco has to be there.
Joe Burrow beat the shit out of San Francisco.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, that will be fun to watch. I want to see Joe Burrow destroy San Francisco. So I'm cheering.
He's gonna beat Kansas City, dude.
Either way, it's gonna be good. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're gonna thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show during the season, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. And if you want to participate in game day chats, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there's Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye. Make sure the Payton's a quitter, donkeys.
All at the same time.
Bye-bye, Sean Payton, donkeys.
Thanks for the memories, Coach.
Good night, Houdat Nation.